Well, thanks for joining me. Let's pray. I want to pray for that caller, Alonzo, who is a Freemason. He's a third degree, not a 33 degree Mason, and is, curious about the church. I think that's the good thing. I was just thinking about this, and you know, Father's the canon lawyer. I wanted him the opportunity to explain this. Tomorrow, I think it's tomorrow, either tomorrow or Thursday, I want to do a program on healing your family tree. I know we all have crosses, right, where we all have wounds, and maybe there's tragedy that plagues your family. You know, maybe there's disease. Maybe there's addiction. Maybe there's strange accidents that seem to plague you. Could it be that something runs down your generational line? Father Mark Barron, who's a great contributor to the radio program, he'll probably join me. I'm going to reach out to him. But he often talks about how Freemasons, those involved in Masonry, need to repent of their connection to Freemasonry. I think it was Pope Leo XIII, 1884, around that period of time, who spoke out very eloquently against Freemasonry. St. Maximilian Kolbe, part of the mission of the Knights of the Immaculata, was to get those miraculous medals, out and fought against Freemasonry. I've spoken to 33 degree Masons at the highest level of Freemasonry. Some of the things they do are not only anti-papal, not anti-Catholic, but I won't discuss it on the air. I won't say it out. It's just shared with Maggie what it was. But they're sacrilegious and blasphemous. And if you are involved in Freemasonry, later this week, I will take a look at it. A lot of people say, oh, they're a good group, man. You know, Drew, come on. They do a lot of, you know, look at the hospitals, look at the stuff that they do. It's, you know, they do a lot of great work. And I'm sure they do. I think a lot of the guys in the lower levels aren't even aware of the ideology or theology of what Freemasonry is all about. But I'll break it down. I don't have time to do it now. I just wanted to put that out there. I don't want that to float out there without maybe addressing it. So that is coming up a little later in the week. As I often say, when you tune in here, you never know what you're going to get, right? You never know what you're going to get, from curses and generational healing to Freemasonry. It's always a mixed bag. I want to pray for you today, though. I do. I want to pray with you, because there's the power. I loved our Utah caller who was miraculously cured of his cancer, and doctors are baffled. They have no explanation. They're saying, we can't explain it. God healed that man instantly. It's like the email I shared with you. I think I shared it with you before about the woman who wrote to me. Her husband had an MRI and was tested. His PSA levels were through the roof, and he had this mass, right? And I think his PSA was like at 6. She called into the chapel, began to pray. When he went back to the doctor, that mass had disappeared, right? And the PSA went from 6 all the way down to 1.5. And she just said, it's so comforting. It's so reassuring to pray with everyone. I know there's a power in that united prayer. And there is. There's a power in what we're doing. I asked you to pray for my friend who was having these legal battles the other day. She is a generous woman who's done so much to help the church. And Yaya, if you're listening, we are praying for you. You're a wonderful person. And thanks to something she did in my life many, many years ago, I sit here behind this microphone with you, and I credit part of my own ability to be a broadcaster today to this woman and her generosity. So she's facing really a difficult time. She called me again, Drew, please pray. Please, please, this is horrible. Called me before the show. So I really want to amp up the prayer. And I've been praying for her in greater intensity. I believe in the power of intercessory prayer. The key to prayer is, one, trust, but two, it's praying from your heart. You really have got to open your heart to God. You got to pour out your soul, and you really got to communicate to God in an intimate way, not just in mindless words. Therein lies a tremendous power, and that's how mountains move. That's how miracles take place. That's how cancer disappears. That's how financial, you know, miracles take place. That's how the legal case disappears. That's how the marriage is reunited. That's how miracles will take place in your life. So I want to pray for you that way. I also got a text from my sister today. And to the Romolini family, if you are praying, I'm praying for your daughter, okay? I know she's got a procedure, so I want to lift her up and pray for you. You're wonderful people. So Maggie, good to pray with you today. Anything you want to kick us off with today?
Great to pray with you, Drew. First of all, I just want to lift you and your family up.
Oh, thank you very much.
You just, this half hour of the day, I think, really makes a lot of people's day. It's our favorite. Yeah.
I love it.
We love it so much. I just want to pray for you.
Thank you.
And I also want to pray for my dad. I think he's having a lot of swelling and inflammation from his knee surgery. So I think that's kind of painful. And I want to pray that that goes down and his recovery is smooth from
here. Is he up walking around, I hope?
Or
is he one of those guys like, I don't want to get up, it hurts?
No. Oh, he will push the envelope if he can. But
that would be me.
He's promised to be a good patient.
I'll be like, honey, I need something, honey. She'll be like, get out of bed. You got to walk.
Oh, he's the total opposite. He'd be out chopping wood if he could.
Hey, Bob Ott, you had your knee replaced too. I'm praying for you. Another guy I know said, can you pray for me? I got a knee replacement. Man, it's such a common surgery now. Mm-hmm. But we'll pray for recovery for everyone. Now, thank you for your kind words, Maggie. It's an honor. And you and I got news today that we're probably going to be doing the chaplet live via video. So you'll be able to pray with us online around the world or wherever you are at some point in the future. I thought maybe Divine Mercy Monday, the day after Divine Mercy Sunday, might be a great time to do it. Or maybe I'll push it all the way to September to the anniversary of the chaplet. I don't think that'll happen. We'll do that earlier rather than later. So, all right, let's pray. We will pray. Gloria, I'm praying for you as well. Mike Kendall, my colleague here, our chief, our executive vice president of programming, he asked us to pray for a girl named Paige. She's having her second brain surgery. And nothing terrifies me more than brain surgery. I'm thinking, oh, Lord, please be merciful. Steve also wrote to me, and forgive me, I've written down a lot of these intentions. I don't always get a chance to get to them, but this guy writes and he says, could you ask everybody who's praying with you today to pray for me? My wife and I are getting divorced after 27 years of marriage. I would love a miracle. So let's pray for that miracle for you, Steve. I am so sorry. It's so weird after a decade and a half, almost three decades of marriage, that this is what ultimately happened. So we'll pray for marriage. We'll pray for relationships. We'll pray for our wayward kids, right? We'll pray for those who today are most in need of God's mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Our first call today comes from Tom. He's praying with us in San Antonio, Texas. Hi, Tom. Good afternoon.
Hey, Drew. Great program. Luckily, fell upon the fact that 11:60 a.m. here came about. My sister told me about you guys up in Chicago and so forth, and I said, we don't have it down here. But a few months ago, I saw one of those electronic billboards indicating, you know, that you guys were in, and that's great. I love your Divine Mercy methodology. It's fantastic. And I've got several intentions I don't want to bore you with, but my primary intention is for my wife, Gail, who has been diagnosed with ALS for about a year and a half now. She's lost the ability to swallow and to speak.
I'm sorry.
So, but there's many other good blessings. Like, for instance, she's out walking her 2 miles right now.
Oh,
so I would ask for this Divine Mercy decade to be devoted to her, that if at all possible, a miracle could happen. And if not, we could just stabilize this disease. It's a terrible, terrible situation. But thank you very much. You guys are great.
Hey, Tom, a couple things. One, you know, you don't bore us with those intentions. That's what we're here for. It's a privilege for me. I mean that. I'm so humbled by the fact that God has allowed me this opportunity to pray with you and for others. We'll pray for your wife. Her name is Gail. Is that what I understand?
That is correct.
All right, we're going to pray for her. Your father, my call screener, is saying just turned 99 years of age as well.
That's right. Father of 11 of us.
Wow,
nine of us
God.
Are left. My mother died on September 8th, and so he's quite distraught, even though he still goes to work every day.
Wow.
He's quite a man, and she was quite a woman, you know, so whatever. Yes, and then we've got all other situations among the siblings and so forth, health-wise and so forth. So I really appreciate your time. It's great that you asked me that question.
Well, let's do this. Let's pray for your family. All right, brother? You're part of our spiritual family here, and that's what I love about this chaplet. I know you've fallen in love with it. I'm glad you found that billboard and you found Relevant. We'll pray for your earthly family here, but your spiritual family here. One day we're all going to be perfectly united. And whether, you know, you're listening to us in Britain or South America, South Africa, Asia, we're all family. And I just want to speak to you, Tom, and to anyone else who's going through a difficult situation like this. I always believe in praying for miracles. I always believe in praying that God will hear our prayers in miraculous ways. I love your submission to his will. If you're meant to carry the cross, great. That's the way we have to pray. But the Lord told St. Faustina in Diary Entry 294, he says, encourage souls to whom you come in contact with to trust in my infinite mercy. I love these souls. I love souls that have confidence in me. I will do everything for them. And that's the best part of that entry. I will do everything for those souls. So I don't limit God. God can reverse ALS. He can vanquish it. He can heal instantly. He can make tumors disappear, as we've just heard earlier today. And I just want to pray for your family. Whatever God's will is, that you have the special grace to love him even more deeply and to carry those crosses. But Lord, I do ask for miracles. I pray for this friend of mine, Yaya. I pray for Maggie's father. I pray for Tom and his entire family and for my spiritual family that joins me now, wherever they are, whatever their intentions are. I just ask you, pour forth your grace upon them as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Lynn is praying in Central California. Lynn, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Drew. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You got it.
And I just wanted to let everyone know that my husband was saved from cardiac arrest the day after Christmas.
Oh, wow.
We had finished the Christmas novena, and I prayed the chaplet every day with you and the rosary with Father Rocky. The day after Christmas in the morning, he went into cardiac arrest right in front of me.
Wow.
Kind of froze, and I rushed him to the hospital. They put an emergency pacemaker.
Wow.
And that night, I didn't know it, of course. They sent me home. And I woke up just after 3 a.m., and I thought, I've got to say the chaplet. I've got to.
Amen.
I didn't know it, but his heart kept stopping throughout the night.
Wow.
And I remember you saying, people are dying. You've got to say the chaplet.
Amen.
And I did. I got back over there. They put in a permanent one, and the cardiologist said, it's a good thing you brought him in because he wouldn't still be here. And it is an absolute miracle.
Wow.
It could have been a very different... very different holiday season. He turned 70.
Wow.
He's working full time. They released him on his 70th birthday 2 days later.
Oh, praise God. That's great.
It's miracles do happen.
Well, Lynn, first of all, I love it because I believe in that Christmas novena. That's that St. Andrew novena you prayed.
Oh,
I have such trouble getting through it, but I hear more miracles from that. So, and what a gift for you, because, you know, Christmas, they say that's the one holiday that there's a major spike in heart attacks. So the fact that your husband had one over it. And to see that,
well,
I don't...
And you know, the weird, he didn't have a heart attack, no stroke, he had no pain. That's, wow. The cardiologist said it's like a Ferrari engine that the pistons stopped firing.
Oh, wow.
So he's got this super duper pacemaker, and he's back at work full time.
Oh, I love it. Well, praise God. You got a tuned up husband. I like that.
Yes, I do.
Let's pray. We'll pray in Thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you for Lynn. I thank you for this example of answered prayer. And we pray for health for her and her husband and for all the intentions she has. And I just thank you for the way you answer prayers in our lives, those visible and invisible, those that we see, those that we fail to recognize. I know you're always at work. So I pray continually now for answered prayers for those now united with me. But I thank you for those miracles that have taken place and those that are in the offing. We turn to you with trust. We have complete confidence in the fact that you will do everything for us as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, before we go to Barbara in Massachusetts, Maggie, what's coming in? And just a quick reminder, I try to remind you every day, Twitter's a great way to get your prayer intentions into Maggie. She's monitoring our Twitter feed, and that is at Drew Mariani Show. Please follow us on our social media platforms. Follow me, also at Drew Mariani, just without the word show. But send us your intentions, and Maggie will bring them to air, and we will pray together for them.
Today, actually, Drew, I'm catching up on some email prayer requests that I've received throughout the last few days. So I'll hold on to the Twitter prayer intentions for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. An anonymous mom, she wanted to keep anonymous,
sure,
wrote to us. She said, Drew, my daughter has had type 1 diabetes since she was a little girl. She's now 37 and doing very well. She's a marathoner and a senior editor at a major East Coast magazine, but she's fallen away from the church. And in that industry she works in, she leans quite left. She's opted to not have children because of her diabetes. This mom is just praying that she returns to her faith and that her husband might also be converted because he's not Catholic. She says, thank you, Drew. I pray with all of you at Relevant Radio. Pamela wrote to us from New Jersey. She mentioned knowing your parents, Drew, and going to their gatherings in Philadelphia.
Right. Yeah.
She's requesting prayers for the repose of the soul of Demetrius, a young man in an automobile accident. Michael, Demetrius's father, produced As the Spirit Leads.
Oh, yes.
I think a number of people have prayed for this young man. And Anna, Joe, her husband, has a radio show on WTMR, Drew's parents.
Yes, my parents used to broadcast on the network. And Joe, I want to give these, what did they have the last name there? Is it Grady or Joe?
It just says Joe.
So here's the thing. You know, a lot of people think, oh, it's so great you pray the Chapel of Divine Mercy on the air. I wasn't the first one to do this, and I really want to give credit to these guys who prayed for the souls every single day in Philadelphia. Every day, the show was dedicated to it, and they would pray the Chapel of Divine Mercy. They didn't pray it the way we pray it here. They just prayed the chapel.
Sure.
But I think God really has blessed them, and I want to pray for him, and I think his wife, did he leave a message? I think I got an email from them saying that the wife is...
Pamela, who wrote to us, said she wants to pray for Anna and Joe. And then Pamela, who wrote to us, also lost three younger brothers.
Horrible.
And a son-in-law and a niece. So lots of prayers. And then this last one was really sweet. I wanted to just read this out. Dear Drew, I listen to your show daily and participate in Divine Mercy on my way home from work, and I receive comfort. I would like to pray that if it's God's will, I may have a second chance in marriage. I was married for 14 years and now, unfortunately, have been divorced for almost 10. We have an annulment. I raised both my daughters myself and would like to meet a practicing Catholic man whom I can share our beautiful faith with and who will also accept my two beautiful daughters. I believe strongly in marriage and feel I have never fully experienced the true sacrament with my first husband. It's very hard out here in the dating world. Subsequently, I've become discouraged with online dating and the such. That's why I'm asking you, Drew, to lift this intention up to our Heavenly Father. I know how much you believe in the power of prayer.
Amen.
And I trust the Lord will hear this intention.
Well, your husband's out there. He's waiting. He's in the wings. That's for sure. You keep praying, and we'll ask that God allow your paths to cross so you can experience that joy and that sacrament, that vocation that will allow you to grow in holiness and enter into eternal life. You know, Maggie is such a great example, and we have to pray here, but you know, you prayed for years, and Maggie's getting married in May. Her husband came in a miraculous way, and boy, what a combination you guys are, too, just in terms of how you complement each other spiritually.
Lisa, your husband's out there.
Yeah, let's pray. We'll pray for her. I guess I'll sneak Barbara in here, too. She's waiting in Bellingham, Massachusetts. Hi, Barbara. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. My baby grandson, Joseph, age 4 months, has a seriously low blood count level, and my daughter is waiting for the pediatrician's office to forward the blood work to my daughter so that she can take him to the hematologist for iron supplementation ASAP. And also one more, please pray for little baby Joey's reflux to be healed too. Oh. Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you. All right, Lord, you heard her. You heard all these intentions of Maggie voice and all who are united with me. We just, as your children, come before you, begging for your mercy. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Mark in Arcadia, California. Thanks for joining us. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. I have a good friend from grade school who is suffering with brain lesions, brain cancer, and there's other issues that has created in his body. He's in the hospital, and I pray and hope those along listening can also pray for his recovery.
You got it.
His name is Michael.
Thank you. We'll lift him up right now. We want to pray for Mike, for Michael, and I want to pray for Mark. He didn't pray for anything for himself and for all the intentions that he has. You just keep coming and petition, Heavenly Father. You know, I know, I think it's Philippians that tells us to not to be anxious about everything, but in every circumstance, every situation, just pray and petition. And that's what we're going to do. Lord, we just come to you again and again. We're going to knock so that door will be opened, and we're going to ask so that we may receive. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Next call comes from the Twin Cities. Andrea is listening to us there. Hi, is it Andrea or Andrea? I never know how to respond.
I go by Andrea.
Hi, Andrea. Good to have you with me.
Okay. Good to have you. Yes, emergency prayers for my good friend's grandson who didn't go to school today, and they don't know where he is. He's missing.
Oh,
he's 16.
No. Oh, no.
So St. Anthony, pray for us. Flying Novena, Divine Mercy Chaplet, all of the above.
You got it. Well, let's pray right now, okay? You know, what's his name? Can we jot him down here quickly?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know if I...
Don't share it. You don't have
know
to.
I'm calling. It, so, yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
No, it's okay. Because, you know, we pray nothing nefarious has happened to him. You know? And Lord, I just give you these situations. This chaplet is so anointed with the missing. So often we pray it, people with silver alerts are found, you know, amber alerts. We've had the same thing with those who've been kidnapped, who've been released. It's just an amazing litany of miracles that have happened with these type of intentions. So I pray for this 16-year-old child, for this grandson who didn't show up to school today, that he's just being a 16-year-old boy who didn't want to go to school and that nothing else happened. We pray for his safety. We pray for all of our children who are lost, those who have separated themselves from you, Lord. I want to pray for those who now find themselves in dangerous situations, those who may be kidnapped or trafficked. Lord, I want to pray for the conversion of those that we love. And I give to you now everyone who's on hold, and everyone who's praying with me, and every intention in my heart. And you are omnipotent, you are omniscient, and you know all things. So we just entrust our needs to you. And we thank you for your mercy as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
St. Joseph,
pray for us.
St. Faustina,
pray for us.
St. John Paul II,
pray for us.
St. Peregrine,
pray for us.
St. Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
St. Francis de Sales,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
I was just struck by a thought, and Tom, who called from San Antonio, I think it was San Antonio where he called, saw us on a billboard. Can you do me a favor? This is such a great way to be an apostle of mercy. Just tell one other person about the chaplet. Just say, hey, why don't you pray? I know you're going through a tough time. I know your business is in trouble. I know you're worried about your kid. I know your marriage is on the rocks. Invite people to pray the chaplet with you every day. Get them plugged into the station you're listening. Have them join the show. You know, I'm always trying to give you a look at life you're not going to find anywhere else. But I think it's a great way to evangelize. And St. Faustina, she wrote in her diary about the Lord told her, you know, that those who spread devotion to my mercy, there's special protection that comes your way. And there's even a special grace you get in the afterlife. There's a special brilliance that you will shine with. So I think it's a great way to, you say, I don't know divine mercy. I can't really talk about it. Turn people onto it. Just tell them about it. Tell them about God's mercy. The chaplet every afternoon, 4 Eastern, 3 Central, 1 Pacific. Join us for it, okay? And get them plugged in. I need to take a short break. You know, I've talked to you in the past about artificial intelligence, and a friend of mine wrote a great piece, and he asked this AI, this artificial intelligence, to write a prayer. And I thought, man, this prayer is incredibly beautiful. And I told my producer about it. He says, well, I know a priest who's got to give a homily. He asked this thing, this AI, to write a homily for him. And he says, when he read the homily, it was really good. He's probably going to use most of it. So we're going to be talking about that coming up a little bit later in the show. We'll talk AI, okay? And a lot more. So we're going to get into that. Stay with me. Phil Flynn joins me on the other side of this break. Have you been following any of the World Economic Forum? Got a lot to get into. Stay with me.
Your daily dose of faith, hope, and charity. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hi, Drew Mariani here. Hey, this September, I'm heading the Relevant Radio's Eucharistic Revival Pilgrimage to Italy with Nativity Pilgrimage. This is available to you. Information available at relevantradio.com/Italy.
The Drew Mariani Show is on Relevant Radio.
And time keeps on slipping, doesn't it? Where does it go? It's going pretty quick. I was just talking to Maggie, and I heard that ad for the pilgrimage run. Maggie is actually going to be in Italy before I will be. Maggie's going there on her honeymoon. Maggie, have you ever been to Italy? No?
I've never been to Italy.
Never been to Italy.
I've never been to Europe. I've only been to Central and South America.
Well, you will love Europe. You'll love it. I love Italy. I love the food. I love the culture. I love the faith. You know, you're going to have a great, great time there. So you're going in May?
We're going in May.
I'm heading in September, so make sure you keep the house clean, all right?
We won't burn the house down.
Don't burn it down before I get there, all right? I hope you can join me. Just a quick programming note. I am leaving in September. Maggie's being married in May. She'll be gone for a couple of weeks on her honeymoon. But and Nick, is Nick on our phones right now? I can't see him.
He is.
Nick is the producer for the afternoon shows
for
Father Simon.
And he's also getting married in May and also going on his honeymoon.
So, Nick,
to Italy.
The same thing goes to you. Keep the house clean for when I get over there. Hey, if you want to join us on this trip, and I hope you can, I'll tell you more about it in the future. I know I haven't really spent a whole lot of time on it, but just a wonderful, wonderful trip. I know seats are going to fill so quickly. We had a waiting list for the trip that went to Israel last year. And if you want to come, get information, go to relevantradio.com/Italy. Relevantradio.com/Italy, and we'll pray together, we'll play together, and we'll have a great time. We're going to have papal audiences and see the Sistine Chapel and, you know, go and hunt of Eucharistic miracles. We're going to pray before a lot of those. It's going to be a spiritually edifying trip. It's also a lot of fun, a lot of culture there, too. I think I like the blend of both. You know, it's faith and life, right? That's how we have to walk. Hey, I don't know if you caught last week any of the audio from what went down at the World Economic Forum. A lot of elites gathered in Davos in Switzerland. It was the 52nd annual meeting there. And their mission, at least what the WEF says, is to improve the state of the world by engaging business, political, academic, and leaders of society to shape global and regional and industrial agendas. That's a mouthful, right? For a lot of people, what it really amounted to is a group of uber-wealthy people. A lot of world leaders are just trying to control what happens in the world, and every year their hypocrisy, you know, it gets shown up even by groups like Greenpeace, because a lot of the participants arrive by jet plane, right? You've probably seen these stories last week. You know, I don't know how many jets were there. They fly from some flew, and this is really horrible, a mere 13 miles to get there. What are you getting on a jet plane to go 13 miles for? You know, it probably takes you more time. It's awful. It's an awful lot of carbon into the air. So if you're concerned about that kind of stuff, you're all setting a horrible example, right? But what happens there, a lot of people sit around, they talk about the really big problems like hunger and pollution and climate. What they're supposed to do, though, is come up with solutions that could be applied to the real world. And what we're getting, though, are proposals like the CEO of the German tech company, Siemens, who says that, you know, a billion people around the world should stop eating meat and start eating alternative protein, like bugs, right? Like bugs. I bet you this guy who's promoting the eating of bugs is probably having a steak. Really? And maybe one day we'll have it. I mean, bugs are, I've had bugs. I've eaten bugs. But you know, they're a staple in Africa and different areas of the world. People do eat them. But really, a billion people should stop. Of course, you know, he could invest in a new South African company that Bill Gates is investing in that came up with a dietary supplement for cows. It's supposed to be stop burping methane. I mean, cows are allegedly the globe's second largest source of methane output. You got Prime Minister Tony Blair, former British Prime Minister, I really should say. He's calling for global vaccine databases for when the next pandemic hits. And let me share a little bit of that with you. Is this Tony Blair, Maggie? Here's a little bit of Tony Blair and what he's calling for. Listen to this.
You need to know who's been vaccinated and who hasn't been. Some of the vaccines that will come on down the line will be multiple. There'll be multiple shots. So you've got to have, for reasons to do with the healthcare more generally, but certainly for a pandemic or for vaccines, you've got to have a proper digital infrastructure.
A proper digital infrastructure. Everyone gets tracked. Everybody gets tracked to see who has whatever, the next big vaccine, you know, what it is, and who doesn't have the vax. And it means there are going to be some people who can be allowed to travel and others who can't. That's what's going to happen. You're going to start to see certain governance over the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. You'll be in a big database. Al Gore, of course, went on a giant rant, and he was ranting about how little's now being done to control the carbon output. And he, of course, applauded, you know, Greta Thunberg for getting arrested for opposing, you know, the German coal mine over there. His rant came after he had just gotten to Davos on his private plane. Listen to what he said.
We are not winning. The crisis is still getting worse faster than we are deploying these solutions. And we need to make changes quickly. Emissions are still going up. All these promises of the last few years to cut emissions are still going up. When are we going to bring these emissions down? And just to put the science in a slightly different context, people are familiar with that thin blue line that the astronauts bring back in their pictures from space. That's the part of the atmosphere that has oxygen, the troposphere, and it's only 5 to 7 kilometers thick. That's what we're using as an open sewer. If you could drive a car straight up in the air at interstate highway speeds, you'd get to the top of that blue line in 5 minutes. And all the greenhouse gas pollution would be below you. We're still putting 162 million tons into it every single day. And the accumulated amount is now trapping as much extra heat as would be released by 600,000 Hiroshima-class atomic bombs exploding every single day on the Earth. That's what's boiling the oceans, creating these atmospheric rivers and the rain bombs and sucking the moisture out of the land and creating the droughts and melting the ice and raising the sea level and causing these waves of climate refugees predicted to reach 1 billion in this century. Look at the xenophobia and political authoritarian trends that have come from just a few million refugees. What about 1 billion? We would lose our capacity for self-governance on this world. We have to act. So in answer to your question, I would say we have to have a sense of urgency much greater than we have yet had.
Well, to that point with Al Gore, I'm a big believer, and I hope you don't misinterpret me. We're all about stewardship. I think God gave us the planet. We've got to be good stewards of it, right? We got to be good stewards of it. We need to talk to two major nations, Al. I mean, the U.S. is really the tip of the spear. We're leading the world on this. China and India, major, major polluters as well. But the science is still out there, and a lot of people debate what we're seeing. I'm joined today by Phil Flynn. He's a senior market analyst and the author of The Energy Report at the Price Futures Group. He's a contributor to Fox Business. You might see him on their network. Check him out at PriceGroup.com. And Mr. Flynn, it is good to talk with you again. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. But after that speech, I'm hiding under my desk. I'm afraid to come out. That's scary.
The oceans are boiling.
That's scary.
The oceans are boiling.
No, that's going to really ruin my vacation. If I go to the ocean, I'm going to boil. I mean, you know, what the heck? It'll save on the seafood because the lobsters will pop up cooked, which would help. So
I appreciate his passion. I love it, and I think we'd be good stewards. You know, you and I were talking right before you came on to air about John Kerry, right? And let me run his audio, right, too, because, you know, I think there is legitimate passion on behalf of some of these people. And then there's others who, I don't know, there's a sense of, I don't know if entitlement's the right word, but they're part of a special class that's going to save the world. Here's John Kerry. Listen to what he said.
Mm-hmm. And when you stop and think about it, it's pretty extraordinary that we, select group of human beings, because of whatever touched us at some point in our lives, are able to sit in a room and come together and actually talk about saving the planet. I mean, it's so almost extraterrestrial to think about, quote, saving the planet. And if you said that to most people, mm-hmm. most people, they think you're just a crazy tree-hugging, lefty, liberal, you know, do-gooder, whatever, and there's no relationship. But really, that's where we are.
He got a lot of heat for saying that. I don't know how to interpret it. Is he just talking in general? What do you make of what John Kerry had to say?
He sounds like an extraterrestrial, that's for sure. I mean, that is probably, you know, when you're at these international conferences, you see a lot of arrogance, but I mean, that's arrogance on steroids, right? A select group of human beings, and we're going to save the planet or talk about it, and this is a wonderful thing. And the truth of the matter is that, you know, both John Kerry and Al Gore, you know, made all these wild predictions about what was going to happen to the world. You know, Florida was going to be underwater. The ice caps would melt. You know, Chicago is going to be 70 degrees in the winter, which I wish that would happen, but it's not happening. But, you know, they've lost their credibility. And you know, the only way they can justify this existence about controlling people, either with vaccines or the climate, is fear-mongering, and fear-mongering is not a solution.
So where do you see us right now? I know a lot of the science is out in terms of, you know, the temperatures and the cycles that nature goes through. We've got major polluters like China and India as well, and there's this big move to go green. What does that do for our energy prices, and how does all this interact?
It's potentially creating one of the biggest future economic crises that the world has seen in generations. And the reason why I say that, Drew, is that we're going to need fossil fuels at least for the next 50 years. But yet, you know, these global elites are telling the world and telling, you know, big money people, don't invest in fossil fuels, throw all your money into green energy. And it's creating what will be a major shortage of energy in the future. And we're already seeing the negative impact of that, you know, whether it's higher prices here for gasoline and diesel, but from a more dramatic viewpoint, it's creating global instability. And we see that with the war in Ukraine, which, believe it or not, has a lot to do with energy. You know, Russia, you know, controlling energy in Europe and using that as a weapon. Yeah. And energy is really the backdrop of what's going on beyond this.
Well, let's do this. I had to take a short pause. I'm up against this break here. But when we come back, I know our Strategic Petroleum Reserve, the SPR, is running low. I'd love to get your take on that and a lot of other things. So if you want to join us, feel free to dial in. Phil Flynn is here. He is Senior Market Analyst and the author of The Energy Report at the Price Futures Group. You can check him out at pricegroup.com. You got a major fan here, too, in Diane Bernanke. You may not know her, but boy, she loves you. One of my colleagues, Phil. We'll talk more when I return.
This hour is sponsored by Ave Maria Mutual Funds, where financial goals are aligned with pro-life values and fund decisions are based on investment fundamentals designed to preserve and grow wealth without violating moral beliefs. More information at AveMariaFunds.com.
Real faith, real talk. You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
I think it's important to shine the light of our faith on these issues and to keep everything in balance, shine the light of truth ultimately on them. And I thought today I'd take a look at energy. We take a look at what happened to the World Economic Forum and all that's unfolding in our own country, what it portends for the future. And I've invited Phil Flynn, Senior Market Analyst and author of The Energy Report at the Price Futures Group, to join us today. You probably have seen him on Fox Business Network. I hope you'll check out his website. It's pricegroup.com. Phil, I want to pick up on something that I'm hearing about now, that the House Republicans apparently have a bill that would impact domestic energy production. The White House, they characterized it as raising the price of gas for consumers. And I saw a stat earlier today on the price of gas, on how it is continuing to go up week after week now. What's this bill all about, and what do you see for energy costs for Americans in the not-too-distant future?
You know, I think we're going to see higher prices, especially this summer, and I think we're seeing that right now. But what the Republicans are trying to do is put through a bill, I think it's called the H.R. 21 bill, and that's basically going to prohibit the president or the energy secretary to stop using the Strategic Petroleum Reserve for basically, you know, price control mechanisms. Because what President Biden did well before the war in Ukraine, when he was unhappy that gasoline prices were going up and his approval ratings were going down, he tapped oil from the reserve to try to reduce prices. But that is not the tool for what it was designed for. It was designed for an emergency, like if another country cut off our supplies or if we had a major hurricane. And so the Republicans want to say, okay, if you want to, you know, use the reserve, you're going to have to give us a plan to allow more domestic oil production to replace that oil. And if you don't do that, it will only be an emergency when it needs to be gone. Now, the Democrats across are using this as a tool to say, see, this is going to make gasoline prices go up. Mm-hmm. The reality is, because we've drained our reserve, that's one of the reasons why gas prices are going up, because there's no more oil to keep the prices down.
Yeah, I think you described this as a Biden administration personal slush fund, right? The Strategic Petroleum Reserve, the fact that it's running low. I mean, explain that. Expand on it. I think it was kind of a true insight.
And that's exactly it. I mean, you know, I think President Biden, for the first time in history, actually tapped the reserve basically to make up for his own political missteps, right? And, you know, he came into office, he canceled the Keystone Pipeline, he put on drilling moratoriums, you know, on federal lands, told the U.S. energy producers, we're going to regulate you, we're going to sue you, we're coming after you, and discouraged production. And then when prices went up, he realized he had political risk, so he decided to use taxpayer-paid-for oil to try to, you know, bring prices down. And now he's trying to take credit for prices going down. But at the end of the day, that's a short-term Band-Aid. And now that that oil's gone, when we have to replace it, it's going to be a lot more expensive, and the taxpayers are going to be left footing the bill. So it really shouldn't be used like that.
Yeah, so true. Hey, where are oil companies on this whole climate change issue? Are they on the bandwagon? What are they doing about it? And how are they going to stay relevant?
You know, I mean, this has been the big debate. You know, I mean, the green energy folks have said that oil companies tried to hide the impact of climate change. Mm-hmm. I think most energy companies right now acknowledge that there has to be some type of an energy transition. Mm-hmm. And I think that, they want it to be done realistically, right? Mm-hmm. They want to do it in such a way where we can provide cheap and affordable energy to the poor and the middle class for years to come, and work on producing it cleaner here at home, as opposed to just willy-nilly cutting back production, you know, moving to less reliable sources that ultimately not only raise prices, but put the poor at real risk. I mean, we're talking about, you know, energy, it's not just about, you know, driving your car. You know, it's about keeping your house warm. It's keeping cool. It's keeping alive. It's food production and things like that. And the path we're on now, Drew, you know, could cause prices to go up, food prices to double, triple, quadruple. It could cause the poor to starve, which would be horrible. And it's really silly policy. They don't think these things through. And while the quote-unquote select group of human beings in Davos are trying to save the planet, the reality is the cure that they're giving the world is a lot worse than the disease.
Yeah, I know your expertise is energy. Are you concerned about the future of this economy?
I am. And I think that there is plenty of warning signs that the energy transition is going to be a major culprit. I mean, you know, right now, I mean, just look at what our global leaders have done the last couple of years when it's come to the economy, you know, printing too much money, misjudging the impact of inflation, being it transitory, and really thinking that the world doesn't work the same way, that you can run up mountains of debt and not have to worry about it. And the truth of the matter is, one of the reasons why they could get away with that so long was because U.S. energy producers kept, you know, the inflation under control. But once you started pulling back on fossil fuels, that really fed the inflation, because I think the U.S. energy producer, with keeping energy prices low, you know, really covered a lot of the sins of bad government policy when it came to overspending.
Well, Phil, I only have a moment or two left. Let me put a plug in for Price Group as well, pricegroup.com. If people go there, what will they find? How can they connect?
Yeah, I mean, I do a daily energy report. It's always fun. I always tell people they can correct the grammar, send it back to me. That's always fun. We put out trade levels. But really, the Price Group does a great job. We have some of the best research analysts in the country. If you're interested in commodities, food, or whatever, just, you know, feel free to email me at pflynn@pricegroup.com or call me. And, you know, yes, I do take your calls at 888-264-5665.
888-264. What's the following number?
5665. That's right. There you go.
I'm going to pass that along to my colleague here at Relevant because I know she is. When are you going to have him in studio here with you? You know, you've got to get him in here. She's been following you for a long time. So, Diane, I saw her walk by the.
Well, tell Diane hi.
I saw her walk by the studio glass here. I thought she was going to come in through the control room, but I haven't seen her. So, I will definitely do that. Hey, cool. Phil, thank you. Thanks for being here. Always good to talk to you.
Thank you, buddy.
Have a great one. That's Phil
God
Flynn.
God bless. Thank you.
Check him out. It's pricegroup.com. Read his work. I think he's really insightful. You check him out at 888-264-5665. Hey, when I come back, I want to talk AI. And I know this team is, this is the future. You're going to walk in your home. You're going to talk to your stove. It's going to preheat for whatever you're going to cook, your TV, your thermostat, your car. Maybe even when you go back to school to study or what you want to read or select to listen to or watch. Our world is changing at an unbelievable pace. Wait till I tell you. When I return, I'll fill you in.